Tonight, turn to Revelation chapter 17, and Revelation chapter 17 just for a few minutes. In Revelation 17, I love the book of Revelation. The Bible tells you in the first part of the Revelation, it tells you it blesses those that read it. And if you read it, and the book of Revelation is comparable to the book of Daniel. And when you read the book of Daniel, I love to read. People want to know what's going to happen. What's going to happen, preacher? What's going on? And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then at the last of the chapter, the last book of the Revelation tells you, woe unto him that tries to pervert the word of God and change it. And we don't want to pervert the word of God. We don't want to change it. There's a lot of religions don't believe the book of Revelation. They don't believe that this is, they think it's already passed or it's figurative. It's not really going to happen. This is really going to happen. It's coming down the pike like a freight train, man. It's coming down fast. And people need to be ready. You say, what do you believe is going to happen? People say, well, you know, we might get hit by a meteorite. And, you know, they're making movies about meteorites coming hitting the earth. And they got this one guy that saves the day. And they always got these movies about the end times. If you look around, they got these movies all the time. They're making movies about end time. Why? They're preparing people. They're preparing people for what's going to happen. But I saw today, they don't want to mention Jesus Christ in it at all. That guy that they made a movie, Angelina Jolie made a movie about him called Unbroken. They wrote a book about him. And that guy got saved, and he got saved, and he started youth camps and youth ministries for kids and trying to get people saved, but they never mentioned that. Hollywood never will. The TV will never hardly mention it. They cut a guy off today, I believe it's on news thing, for sports. It was a black guy getting up there, and they was asking, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? And what do you think about this racism and all this stuff? And he said, he said this. He says the same thing I said. He said this. He said, I don't think the problem is race. He said, I think the problem, or skin. He said, the problem is sin. And he said, if everybody got right with God, and he said, and they have a sin problem. They don't have a skin problem. He said, they need to get saved. And man, CNN cut him off. They cut him off. They didn't want to hear it. So you start talking about sin and judgment and all that stuff. They don't want to hear it. And boy, it's coming. It's coming. The devil wants to deceive people as much as he can. So when you read the book of Revelation, there's something in the future is coming. And it goes through the tribulation four times, and it's coming down the pike. And we're going to look at some of the things here. But look at Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 18. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man will add on to this book, if any man shall add on to these things, God shall add on to him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And that's not the Lamb's book of life. Out of the book of life, it'd be no more remembrance of that guy. And I mean, he'd end up in hell. And this wipe, like over in Revelation chapter 21, the Lord said, he's going to wipe away the tears from our eyes and wipe away memories of lost people that we love. It says, out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. So you don't want to mess with God's word. And I remember I used to mock it and make fun of it and everything else. But boy, I tell you what, thank God he had mercy on me. Amen. Have mercy on you. Revelation chapter 17, and it's this great whore, and the Bible calls it a great whore. It's a religious system. It's political and religious, and this great whore is still in power right now, and this great whore is the Roman Catholic Church, and the Bible describes it. It describes it's only, say, the Roman Catholic Church, they don't believe the book of Revelation, and what they do is they try to say it's figurative. It's talking about Rome. It's talking about Caesars in the past. And they try to do away with it. But the Bible describes it and tells you where it sits, where the city sits. There's only one city in the world that sits on seven mountains, and it calls it the bride of Satan, and it says it's the seat of Satan. And there's only one city in the world that sits on seven mountains, as Rome. And they say all roads lead to Rome. And I was saying this a couple weeks ago, all religions are heading towards Rome. The Presbyterians, the Lutherans, even some of the Baptists and the Methodists, they're all heading that way. Their services remind you of going to a Roman Catholic church, and they put a big show. It's a big show, and the only ones that drink the wine is the priest, and they're a bunch of drunks. And then they got people giving the Eucharist, and they say in their bylaws, if you take that Eucharist and put it in your mouth, and somebody throws it up, somebody's got to eat it off the floor. Because that's the body of Jesus Christ. Because when he goes hocus pocus over that thing, it's supposed to turn into your salvation. That's Jesus' body. Now, we take communion here, but the communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me until to showing the death of the Lord until he comes. But communion is a type. It's a type. We're not eating Jesus. Amen. And we don't eat him. And we're just doing something in remembrance of him. And that way you'll judge sin in your life according to what the Bible says. So in Revelation chapter 17, it says, there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me. And this is John the Beloved. He said, and come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. I'm going to say this. Judgment day is a coming, brother. They made a movie called Judgment Day. It's Judgment Day is coming. And God's very patient, very patient. You read over in your Bible, you find where God checks people out, and he judges them. And God gives people a space to repent. He says over in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, talking about the churches, he said, I've given you space to repent. God's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. He gave me a space to repent. Thank God I got saved. Thank God I'm repenting. And I'm going to tell you something. Thank God you got saved and you repented. But God gives you space to repent. And if you don't take that space that he's given you, and he says he's long-suffering, slow to anger, then, brother, judgment's coming. The judgment of the great whore is coming. He said, man, people said, well, how come these little children suffer? How come this happens? Why is this murderer get away with this? All that. Hey, judgment day is coming, brother. It's on God's calendar. It's going to come. And the Lord's going to deal with people. And he's going to judge us as his children. We're his children now. He's going to judge us as children. There's seven judgments in the Bible. But this right here is judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. You can commit spiritual fornication. If you're saved in this room and you start worshiping idols and you start bowing down and praying to saints, then that's committing spiritual fornication. You don't pray the saints. We read over here in Revelation chapter 4 where John's getting ready to worship an angel, and the angel says, don't you bow down to me, man. Don't you pray to me. And an angel will rebuke you and tell you not to pray to him. But there's the religion tells you can pray to this saint, that saint, this saint, and light a candle and cost you $3, and you can pray all these saints, and they don't hear a word you got to say. It's unclean spirits. But the Bible says this. He says, judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the fornication is when flesh joins flesh. There's a difference between adultery and fornication. For adultery, a man can commit adultery in his heart. He can come in and see a woman or see a girl dressed not right and commit it. And then the Bible says God judges her for it, too. If she's dressing like she causes men to look at her and lust after her, and then she'll be judged for what she's wearing and the way she's acting. But if men are always apt to look, men always have to, checking things out. Men's eyes are always wandering, always looking. The ladies used to say back in the day, they said, he got wandering eyes. And what they meant was he's looking around. He's married, looking around. I've seen men come to this church. I've seen them looking around to other women in the church, seen them looking around, checking them out. And men always checking things out, but you don't have to have wandering eyes. The Bible says fornication. And fornication, adultery, you can commit in your heart. And adultery is when you break of the marriage contract. If you you break that marriage contract and go over here, and then you go back to where you were, that's committing adultery. And Jesus said there was a woman that was brought to him. It was a woman that was brought to him. And they said, we caught her in the very act. In the Old Testament, somebody caught in the very act of adultery was to be what? Stone. Killed. And that woman that came to Jesus, and that shows you how merciful. When people start telling me God's not merciful, that shows you how merciful Jesus Christ is. And the Bible says they came, and they started telling, we caught this woman in the very act. If they caught her in the very act, there should have been a guy there. They didn't bring no guy. It was one of them. That's why. And they said, there's a woman. And he sits down, and he stoops down, and he writes on the ground. I believe, some people say, I don't know what he wrote. I believe he wrote the law. I believe he looked up, and he stood up. He said, he that without sin cast the first stone. And he goes back down to writing. I believe he wrote the law. He said, the man and the woman. So, anyway, fornication is when flesh joins flesh and they're not married or breaking of the marriage, going out and flesh joining flesh, messing with each other. And a woman can commit adultery, a man can commit adultery in his heart and also breaking of the marriage contract or stepping away from his wife and marrying somebody else. And that's what Jesus said. Look, to clear it up, go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. I believe it is. Let's see. Just, I don't know, just hit that. Matthew 19. Look at here. They came to Jesus in chapter 19, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? In the Old Testament, if a man found a woman that he married and he didn't like her, or, you know, whatever, he could do away with her. And you think about Mary, brothers, sisters. Think about Mary. Mary with child, and Joseph wanted to put her away privately. He didn't want her stoned. He didn't want her killed. Because if she was with child and no husband, she was engaged to Joseph. And he was debating what to do. And the angel came to him and said, hey, Mary, what's in her is the Holy One. So it says, put away his wife for every cause. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made at the beginning made them male and female? There's a good one for transgenders and homosexuals and all the rest of the stuff. Isn't it something how they're coming out of the closet like crazy? And they demand their rights? Jesus said, as the days of Lot, they shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's what we got going on, brother, sister. If you don't believe that's coming, man, you got your head stuck in the sand. He said, as the days of Lot, here we got men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, and they want to have somebody to pay for it. They want somebody else to pay for it. I mean, if they really want to be a woman, just go, I mean, go see some guy in the back alley and let him cut you. That don't sound too good, but yeah, male eunuch, but cut you a couple of times. But anyway. That's pretty harsh, ain't it? But that's crazy. Doc Rum used to say, man, the world's an insane asylum run by the inmates. That's what it is. You got these bunch of liberals, man. They want your kids. They want to get a hold of them. They want to mess. That's why they want to teach in school so they can teach your kids. It's just another lifestyle. It's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. That's what they're trying to do. They push that stuff from day in, day out. They push that stuff. And you're trying to keep the kids and say, hey, this ain't, you know, I got granddaughters, grandsons. I say, hey, that stuff's stupid. That's not right. You got kids they're confusing. God is not the author of confusion. They start confusing kids. You start messing up little kids' minds. My Lord, man. And the answer said unto them, have you not read that which was made from the beginning, made male and female? For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. My wife and I are one. We're Mr. and Mrs. Allen Ryman. We're one. And when we became together, we're one. And it says, look what verse 6 says. Wherefore, this is Jesus talking now. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? If you don't like what she looks and the way she is, then you can get rid of her. So why did Moses do that? And he answers unto them, Moses, because the hardness of your heart suffered you to put away your wives. Back in the day, in the 50s, when I was born, they said when a woman was divorced or a man was divorced, they were looked down upon. A woman suffers more than a man. A woman always suffer more than men when it comes to those things. Women, they get the raw end of the deal. They get accused. They get called names. They get all that stuff. Where a man, they just chalk it up as a trophy. Look at here. He said on them, Moses, because the hardness of your heart suffer you to put away your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. If I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doeth commit adultery. So this is a physical adultery. This is physical to a fornication. Over here in Revelation, it's a spiritual, but it can be both here, physical and spiritual. And I've told you last week that the Roman Catholic Church, they don't allow the men to marry, but they don't allow the nuns to marry. And what they've done is the nuns and the priests take a vow to the church. They take a vow to the church. But if the church needs something, then they are to meet that need. That's why you never see young nuns out on the street. Well, if a priest has a need, then that nun is to fulfill that need physically. And it's not sin. That's what they teach. That's of the devil. It's fornication. They teach that. So they, you say, oh, I don't believe it. That's what they believe, folks. And so he carried me away, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, John talking. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The beast she's sitting on has got seven heads, 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And the Bible describes a whorish woman in Proverbs chapter 5, 6. Tells you, she wipes her mouth and she says, I haven't done no wrong. And abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. So the Roman Catholic Church says, well, this whole thing's talking about Rome in the past. But John is saying, man, I've never seen this before. John was born under Rome, John the Beloved. The apostle John, he was born under that. But he said, man, this one, I've never seen anything like this before. Got this wild looking beast and you got this dragon and all this stuff. And look at verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the saint, with the blood of the saints. The Catholic Church has killed more Christians than any other organization in the world. Killed them. Why? Because they called her the whore, the Catholic Church. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read history where they've killed. Adolf Hitler was blessed by Gino Pacelli, which was Pope Pius XII, and told him, said, the Catholic Church is with you when he was killing the Jews. They asked Adolf Hitler in 1937, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, I'm just doing what the church has been trying to do for hundreds of years, annihilate them. So the Catholic Church is blood of the saints. You say, what do you mean? Bible says in Genesis, he said that God said to Cain, says, where's your brother at? He said, I don't know where he's at. He said, well, his blood crieth out. His blood does cry out. And it says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, which the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John said, my, I've never seen anything like this. And you're not going to see anything like it. And hopefully, I know we're going to be in heaven when this thing's going on. When all this stuff is happening, we'll be in heaven. And the angel said unto me, where, I hope you're there, that's what I'm saying. Wherefore didst thou marvel, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. So this woman and this beast get together. Remember Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. It's a little cartoon about Beauty and the Beast. It's about a woman. Remember King Kong and the Beast and the woman. All these little things. It's right there. All that little stuff comes together. It's all about the woman and a beast. And the Bible talks about there's going to be children born that's going to be part iron and all that stuff. I mean, Star Trek came out. Star Trek came out, you got these wild-looking beasts walking around on, you know. And I've talked about Star Trek before, but you got a bunch of people walking around now, and they're trying to be Captain Kirk and trying to be Spock, and they're trying to be, and then you got Star Wars, and you got the people acting like, you know, Chewie and all these other stupid things. And people are fascinated with that stuff. There was an organization in California. They were expecting Halley's Comet. They said they were going to catch a comet. So they all drank poison. Had their baggage packed. Had everything, and they drank poison. And they said the comet's coming by. Drink your poison so we can meet it. They got an organization in Canada called the Raelians. They're building launching pads for outer space ships to the land. And they lay on the side of the mountain inviting these aliens to come and lay with them. The world's crazy, man. Religion is crazy. You know, I tell people all the time, don't trust religion, trust Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have, Jim Jones told everybody, let's go down to South America. I mean, we're going to go down there. We're going to build a paradise. We're going to have paradise on earth. And he goes down there and get everybody drinks the Kool-Aid. And they realize they've been betrayed, and everybody dies. I've watched the video of that thing. My Lord, following the man. This Antichrist here, he's going to be 10 million times worse.
Right,
the world's going to follow him. They're going to drink the Kool-Aid. And it says, she's got a cup in her hand. The woman's got a cup. She hooks up with a beast. And it says, and the angel say, who is the beast? We saw the beast in Revelation 13. Go back to Revelation 13. The beast is Antichrist. Revelation 13. He's coming up out of the sea. Here it is. Revelation 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea. That's the Mediterranean area. We've got our seventh fleet there. We've got, we're so tied in with Saudi Arabia. We're so tied in with all these other Arab countries and then with all the European countries. And I wanted to get to that thing about the seven kings. You know how many leaders are in the G7? Seven kings. We're in the seven G7. America's one of them. So, my, we're that close. You know, that's why people, you wonder why people getting so discouraged. They don't even know why. Depressed. There is a spirit. There's a spirit that you have to fight against. I got to fight against. So that, how do I fight it? I read my Bible, I pray, and I sing to the Lord. And I witness to people and try to help. I've been on the phone for the past 2 days with people trying to encourage. I had a lady call me up crying today. Her children are all in a mess. They need money. They're getting kicked out of their places. I got somebody else texting me. No, they're getting kicked out of their place, needing money. Everybody's calling me and making bad decisions and you know, drinking and carrying on drugs and all that stuff. And they want me. I can't bail them out. I ain't got the money to bail them out. This church ain't got the money. We just spent almost close to about $8,000-$9,000 just for this revival. And I told her, I said, only thing I can do is pray. And if, I said, you know, people want help, but they don't want to change. You say, why don't you come to church? Oh, I can't. I don't want to go to church. I don't believe in all that stuff, preacher, but can you give me some money? My daughter Becky, this girl called me and said, I'm getting kicked out September 14th. Can you get us a place to, they're asking me to get them a place to live. Oh, man, I want to help people. I really do. I had a church that they just down in North Carolina. I was talking to the pastor yesterday. They're going to sell the building. They owe $900,000. They're going to sell the building. He said, what do you think? I said, my God, man. I hate hearing that stuff. Anyway, Revelation 13, here's the beast. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Had a family call me up Monday. Their sister died. We had two families, sisters died this week. And one of them's Friday, Brother Squeaky's going to do. And then we got the Tuck family is going to have their daughter. And their daughter passed away. The doctor gave her all kinds of medication. And it was like a cocktail they gave her. I think the doctors ought to be the ones paying for that. Gave her all this medication that just, it killed her. I'm telling you, man, the world's in a bad shape.
Amen.
So you're painting a bad picture. Well, I'm telling you, heaven's going to be real. Heaven, amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Amen. If you got your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ought to be thankful.
Amen.
You should be the happiest people on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Everybody that's saved, you're knowing that you're saved, going to heaven, you ought to be happy. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Amen.
My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
Amen.
We know this stuff. Jesus said this stuff is going to happen. He said it was going to happen. So we know, man, it's coming down the pike like a freight train. Here's the beast. The beast is, he's part Syrian, he's part Jew. And he might even have all three races in him. He probably all three races. And this guy's come along, he's going to be a genius. And he's going to have the answers. And this woman's going to hook up with her. We said, what's the woman? It's a religious system. It hooks up with a political system. And it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. This political system is going to hook up with this religious system, and they're going to conquer the world. and make and force people to come to them. And if you don't receive the mark, their mark, then you get your head cut off, according to what the Bible says, Revelation. That's why it's so important to get people saved. Can you imagine all these little bus kids coming in here? That, I mean, they're the next generation. Can you imagine if the Lord comes back, they got to face this stuff? And obviously, if they're underage accountability, they're going to heaven. But can you imagine them little bus kids? That's why it's so important to reach them. We're not reaching with religion. We're reaching with salvation. And we're not trying to get their money. We're not trying to get anything from them. We're just trying to give them something. Yeah, them kids ain't got nothing. He says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. And that's why I'm trying to encourage you tonight. Our mission hasn't changed. Right. It's still the same.
Amen.
We're still supposed to be winning people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The orders are still the same. Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel.
Amen.
To every creature. That's what Jesus said. And I want to be faithful doing what we're supposed to do. Keep the buses running, picking up those kids. Thank God for bus drivers. Thank God for bus workers. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. And man, if you can do it, then do it.
Yeah.
I told a fellow today, I said, man, don't sit around and do nothing.
Right.
Do something.
Yeah.
I stood upon the sand of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And it says, upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. There he is. His feet were as the feet of a bear. Socialist. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. He speaks English. The dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? The dragon is the devil himself. And his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it wounded to death. So on. So, and then it goes down verse 5. And there was given on him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And power is given on him to continue 42 months. Right there it tells you he's got 3.5 years of the latter part. 7-year period. And he's got 3.5 years where he just goes all out to try to make everybody convert. That's what Islam is a religion of not love. Christianity is a religion of love, care. Islam is a religion of hate and murder and force. That's what it is. That's what, I was preaching a funeral just 2 weeks ago, and a girl, she's an Italian girl, comes up to me at the end of the funeral. She said, you offended me. I said, really? Because I make fun of Islam. I made fun of the Catholic Church. I made fun of a couple other different religions. She said, you offended me. I said, how do I offend you? She said, I'm a Muslim. I said, you're Italian. You look Italian or Portugal or something. I said, how do I offend you? She goes, I'm a converted Muslim. I said, well, you made a big mistake. She gave me her phone number where she lives in Philadelphia. I try to call her phones out of order. But I try to tell her about Jesus Christ. So it says, the mouth speaking great things and his seat and his great authority. And the Bible tells you where the seat is in Rome. And we don't have time to go through all that. But the Babylonian Talmud teaches in 98 section A, it says that the Messiah, this is what the Babylonian Talmud says, the Messiah will appear at the gates of Rome. That's what the Roman Catholic Church follows. And that means unbelieving Israel will accept the Roman Messiah. That's he'd be a part Jew, part Syrian. The Bible tells you that in Daniel. And they'll accept it. So when he appears at the gate, he goes in, Rome accepts him. The Pope puts his arm around him, and they get a unification going. I've already got pictures in my office where the Pope takes the Quran and says, we're both serving the same God, and kisses the Quran. So the marriage has already been made. They're just waiting for the fellow to come along that's going to be the one to initiate the marriage. And that's going to be the Antichrist. So he'll be around 30-some years old. Look on down. Look at back to Revelation 17. It says in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This thing, they've been killing Christians for thousands of years. And you read the end of your at Revelation 18, you read the end of it. I showed it to you last time, where at the end of it, the Lord says, I hold that church accountable for all the people that were slain upon the earth. So all the wars have been started. If you do a history study of how the wars got started, World War I, World War II, the Third World War coming, you do a little history study. Do a little history study on the how the wars got started in Revolutionary War, the 100-year war. All these wars, God says, I hold that church accountable for. Verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which have the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, now check this out, this guy gets killed and gets resurrected, just like Jesus Christ. Look what it says. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Look what it says about Jesus Christ. This guy is an imitation of Jesus Christ. He's a great imitator. He imitates, the devil always has imitated Jesus Christ. The devil will show up and tell you something and you'll think it's from God. And you got to be careful. You better pray about it. You better say, God, don't let me get deceived. The Bible, you know what the Bible calls the devil? It calls him the angel of light. And the Bible says he transforms himself into the angel of light. They came out of a movie called Transformers. They're coming to save the earth. And the devil himself transforms, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He transforms himself into the angel of light. And if you stood Jesus Christ and the devil on this platform together, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart other than the marks in Jesus' hands. They said the only thing made by man in heaven is the marks in Jesus' hands. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 19. Or actually back up to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He was living. He died. And he's, I'm alive forevermore. Look what the Antichrist does. Look what it says about him. The beast that descendeth out of the bottomless pit. He says, the beast that thou sawest was, he was alive. He's not, he's dead, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go in perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, that they should behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Woo! Imitator. This guy is going to show up and the whole world is going to go after him. And I've said this about Obama. I said, when Obama became president, I said, what great thing does this guy do? He was a community organizer. But you know what he could do? He could talk. And boy, he was cool. Guess what the Antichrist is going to be? Obama's just a forerunner. He was a forerunner. And the rest of them, Hitler was a forerunner. The Caesars were a forerunner. Everybody throughout history is a forerunner, and they're preparing. Jesus Christ had John the Baptist. There's going to be a forerunner that go out and proclaim this guy is God. So I said, what great things did Obama do? He went to Europe, and hundreds of thousands of people came to see him, and they were chanting his name. So what did he do? That's not, you say, oh, you voted for Trump. I voted for Trump, but I don't think he's the answer. I think he's a mess as well. But at least he's trying to do something for America. He's a nationalist, not a globalist. The Antichrist will be a globalist. He wants to rule the world. Obama, George Bush, all the rest of those guys were globalists. Now, one thing about Trump, he's not a globalist, he's a nationalist, but he'll convert. He'll convert to a globalist for long. All right, we'll stop right there and take a prayer request.